I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 487. They're slapping the fear back into Resident Evil.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm mad good. Even though I'm mad broke, I'm mad good, though.
I feel you, bro.
Yeah. I got those brakes fixed, and that hurt bad.
But you know what?
I'm safe now.
You know what would have hurt worse?
Death.
Your brakes not working and you go through your windshield and you dying.
Yeah, that would be painful.
And that would really hurt. Like, that would hurt intensely.
Yeah. We talk about games and stuff on this cast, and there's a bunch to talk about going around. I have some things I'm going to share that you're going to be a little bit surprised about coming from me, which is, it's going to be different, people. You're going to be like, who are you and what did you do with Ninja Sister? But it's going to be okay. Trust me. It's going to be okay. It is PC related, but it's going to be okay. And I know that Panda's got some stuff to talk about. She's finally played some Uncharted, so now we can have a shared experience again around that, which makes me happy because the more I can talk about Uncharted,
that's yet better. Remain to be seen.
Well, we'll see.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it. We'll chitty-chat about it. We'll see how it goes. First up, one of the things I want to put on the table real quick is a lot of people have been playing Doom. A couple of people asked me on Twitter, like, what were my thoughts and am I playing it and all that kind of stuff.
And your answer is?
My answer is I am not playing Doom. You guys know how I feel about Bethesda. There are very few things that they've come out with that I haven't completely enjoyed. You know, Rage was one of the games that I just didn't enjoy, but it wasn't my type of game that I enjoy generally anyway. So I put that out there. I'm not playing Doom. I don't intend on playing Doom. Not because I think that anything looks wrong or anything like that. I've watched a couple of my friends live stream playing the game, and I've watched a couple of my favorite YouTubers playing the game, and, you know, everyone seems to be having a really good time with it, and it's a great-looking game. I'm just not drawn to it.
Well, we have Doom in our household, and I have not played, but I have watched the fiance play, and before he decided to get Doom, he decided to play the original Doom on our X-Bone, to which I couldn't stay awake for it. Like, I don't know if I just get too comfortable on our couch and, like, I just fall asleep.
I mean, your couch is comfortable.
It is, but, like, he'll start playing something and I will just immediately fall asleep. And when he gets up, cause he's done, I wake up like, and I don't feel like I've been asleep for an hour or two or five, and which has happened, but I've seen him play bits of the original Doom and he surprised me with a copy of Uncharted 4 that I was not expecting to get, but it also came with Doom. So we have both in our house. It is like very pretty looking.
Like, it's, the action is fast paced and it's pretty looking.
I mean,
for me, there's a but.
I mean, for me, I think from watching him play the first bit of Doom and having a hard time even kind of getting into it, because the funny story about Doom is our Uncle Esh, who lives pretty close to our house, back in the day when I was young, had Wolfenstein and had Doom on his old computer, which he still has the monitor for. They still use that fucking monitor. And I don't know. There's voodoo in that house. I don't understand how this monitor still works after so many years. But I remember one of our cousins saying, yeah, he's got these two PC games, but he won't let me play one because it's got hell and whatever, but he lets me kill Nazis. And I was like, I want to play it. And he was all like, you're a girl. And I went to my uncle and I was like, I'd like to shoot some Nazis. And he let me play Wolfenstein. So when I saw the fiance playing Doom, like that corridor, like door setup for like shooting, like rail shooter and whatever, I was like, I feel like I've seen this somewhere. And like the memories just came flooding back. And my uncle had Doom back in the day, but he wouldn't let me play it. I've seen a couple of levels that he's played, and it doesn't feel like that to me. Because one, you're not in like this corridor chamber where you're descending into the layers of hell, like in the original Doom. You're actually kind of on Mars.
Yes.
And but you're kind of
a demonic invasion.
Right. And you're like harnessing, or people are harnessing the energy of like hell or whatever.
Yes.
And can you see how invested I am?
Yeah.
But like going from what I've seen him play to this, like it doesn't, because I mean, I've experienced kind of them, both of them kind of around the same time. So like my perspective is kind of fresh. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like a Doom game. To which my fiance responded, well, this is more like Doom 1 and Doom 3, which I've never seen Doom 3. So I'm assuming they expand on what yes. happens a bit. But he's like, but that's why. He's like, it's more Doom 3 than Doom 1 and the new stuff. I mean, the levels are not, they're not linear, which, I mean, some people don't have an issue with that. The mapping system, like, instead of, you know, having this weird blobby map, it's actually kind of 3D. So as you're navigating it, you can actually see which levels are higher than other ones. Mm-hmm. And, like, it actually, it's a lot more fleshed out, which on that system I was quite impressed about. But I know nothing about who we are. I don't know why we're on Mars. I don't know why we're the only ones on Mars. And I don't feel like I don't feel motivated. So, I mean, I think for me, I wouldn't jump into this game because it's not like they're giving me a story of, you know, here's, you know, Johnny, fuck your face. And, you know, Martians and Legion, like hell demons killed my mommy.
I think if you had played all of the Doom games, all that would be filled in for you.
Maybe.
And so you could jump into this Doom and be like, rawr, yeah, let's do this. But, I mean, at the end of the day, any game that you see, whether it's a continuation of a story in a franchise or not, it should grab you on its own merits to be like, hey, I'm a game you should want to play. And, again, like, the game looks great. I do like the, you know, the enhancements that they made to the game. A bunch of the old guns from older versions of Doom are in there. They still have secrets that you find, which are really cool because you are Doom Guy, basically, in the game. And, you know, so anybody that has that nostalgia for that, it's there and it's just all souped up and fast. I think at the core of it, it's that every once in a while, I like to play a rail shooter, but for the most part, I don't like playing rail shooters because, like you, I do like to have, like, a narrative driving me forward.
And not just, oh, I beat all these demons. I'm badass. Next level, more right. demons.
Right. That's just not my personal taste. I'm not knocking anybody who does love it, because from everybody that I know that enjoys rail shooters, they have nothing but great things to say about Doom. So it's just, it's not for me. So thanks for the recommendation, guys. I'm probably not going to be playing Doom. I don't mean to make you sad. But it's just not a game that, like, I'm crazy interested in playing.
Different strokes, different folks.
Exactly. But it really does look like, from everybody that I've watched on Twitch this last week playing it, and some of my favorite YouTubers playing it, it does look like, for people who enjoy rail shooters, it's the bee's knees. Like, I was watching some of Markiplier's playthroughs, and he's just like a kid stuck in nostalgia land, and it's just so giddy. And I was like, dude, it's great if people are picking up this game and that's the experience that they're having. That's an awesome fucking game. It's just not for me. So, but keep the recommendations coming, because you never know what I'll pick up and play. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about. Another thing that I wanted to put out there in the world is a little bit new and different for me.
Okay.
It's probably going to surprise some people.
Is it going to surprise me?
It might.
Okay.
So, I have been doing some research into what it would take to be able to use an HTC Vive to be able to do VR reviews.
Oh?
I'm kind of interested in VR gaming.
Wow.
I might be building a PC.
Might.
So, it's a very interesting thing. I ran a test under emulation because my PC laptop won't install Windows 10 Pro. It just tells me to kind of go take a flying leap every time I try to install it.
It's like, haha, fuck you.
He's like, haha, fuck you. No, really, though, fuck you. So I run virtual PC on my Mac, my production Mac, which that machine has 32 gigs of RAM in it. And so under the virtual PC where I have Windows 10 installed, ran a test for the HTC Vive because they actually have an app that you can download and it will test your system and tell you whether or not your system meets the specs to work with it and to be able to play games. And after an hour of doing the download and it running the test, it came back and said, yep, your system can work well with an HTC Vive. So I was like, well, damn. Okay. Because I really wasn't about the Oculus Life. And the main reason that I'm not about the Oculus Life is that I really don't like the slam that the team put out and said that they were never going to develop for the Mac because it's a bullshit system.
Wow, that's a little direct.
I mean, it's based off of Unix. Like, come the fuck on, guys. Just because you can't hot swap out graphics cards and shit like that doesn't mean that it's a bobo system. So I thought that that was kind of a pot shot. And I didn't appreciate it because you're basically saying, yeah, all you millions of people that have Macs, fuck all y'all, we're not doing anything for you. Because I personally feel your system is shit. Not that I can't work with your hardware.
I refuse to work with your hardware.
Because Macs sucks. Are using the same chips as PCs. Everybody's on Intel chips now. It's just that I refuse to work with your hierarchy, so fuck all y'all. No wow. games for you. And that's how I interpreted that statement, and that basically pissed me off. So I was like, well, that's why, fuck VR. But then I had a really great experience at PAX East, as I mentioned, on the podcast, and with the Space Cowboy Trainer on a HTC Vive system that was running off of an MSI laptop. And I thought, you know, like, there's a lot to be said for where VR could go and VR experiences. I started watching some of the footage from Faded, which was the game that KBD was talking about.
Yes.
That was a fully immersive VR experience.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was one of the ones that I had no problem standing in line for.
Yeah, and I was watching how people were reacting, and I started to think of, you know, how much fun I had with the Cowboy Trainer game. And it really did make me kind of pivot on where I was with VR. Because it was very quickly inching closer and closer to the 3D TV bucket for me. As far as nobody's really clamoring for this or wants this. But I've now, you know, looked at some of the games, some gameplay that people are doing, and I have my own experience. And I'm changing my mind. I haven't completely changed, but I'm changing my mind on VR. I'm not with the pockets right now to pre-order an HTC Vive. Because it's an $800 investment.
That's a little rich.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're thinking about the technology that you're getting there, it kind of makes sense. Because it's not easy to do VR right now. PlayStation still hasn't come out with their view system yet. I could go that way. I really don't want to buy a new PlayStation. Because at that point, if I'm buying a new PlayStation and I'm getting the view, it's the same price as if I bought an HTC. So I'm kind of on the fence of which one I'm going to go with. I'm leaning more towards the HTC setup, especially if it will run well under emulation on my Mac, to play some games. So on the horizon out there, guys, is VR game reviews coming from us down the road?
Maybe you. They make me nauseous.
Well, you only got nauseous because you were playing a space game and you went into Deadspin.
It was horrible.
Okay.
It's when I feel clothes, in a laundry feel like.
If you're in a game and you're not in Deadspin,
maybe
it's like walking around, you won't get sick. But if you're like in space and spinning and you can't stop yourself, yeah, you're gonna get sick.
Nauseous as fuck.
So
what happened?
I thought that was kind of like a big deal, like to put out there.
I think that'd be great for you to expand your gaming horizon a little bit.
Be PC gaming. What?
I think it's really funny that VR is kind of something you're interested in when you were like, fuck 3D.
Because they're different, okay?
Are they?
They are. A TV that does 3D deep and not 3D coming at you in your home that requires you to have $20 headsets for each person that's going to watch the programming was stupid. I'm not going to have a fucking Super Bowl party with like 15 of my friends and have to buy 15 fucking headsets at $20 a pop.
Bring your own headset, bitch.
Right?
Bring your own headset.
Like, seriously, you know how well it turns out when you tell people to bring their own booze and everybody brings Natty Light, but drinks up your nice vodka?
Nah. That's just because maybe the caliber of people... Alright, for one, I don't want to talk about the caliber of your people because
I'm generalizing. I'm saying, like, when you have... And again, generalizing, because... You know, my peeps only bring top shelf or they don't bring in my door. But, like, in general, when you have a big gathering, like, people bring the cheap wine, the cheap booze.
People.
The hot dogs that you're like, come on, man, I wouldn't even feed this hot dog to my dog. No, I don't know what's in that hot dog. That's not even it.
But if you've noticed, like, and I'm sure somebody out there, maybe like 8 billion people have had the same thing with me, where I'll have a bring your own booze. Like, and I, very much like you, granted, I'm still learning about a lot of different types of booze, but I tend to mimic the things that I know that you buy when I have the money for them, because I know that they're their boss. But I'm like, hey guys, bring your own.
Peach.
And I'll be like, bring your own. And like, some people, yeah, they bring the Natty Ice, but then some people bring like, because they know I rock Belvedere, like they'll try to one-up me. And then I'm like, oh, really? You're going to bring that into my house? I'm like, well, I'm going to drink it all. And don't you know, those people who pay top notch for their stuff, they don't leave it. People only leave the shitty shit. And if they have, like, really good shit, they're like, oh, no, put it back in the bag. And they take it with them.
Oh, no, come on, man. That's cold.
I've had people, I'm like, where are you going with that? You're leaving? You can leave it here with me and my mouth.
No, if I bring a bottle to somebody's place, I always leave the bottle there. Like, unless they say, I'm not going to drink it, so take it, I leave a bottle.
So, I mean, but I've just noticed that some people are more apt to leave cheap shit.
Oh, everybody leave the cheap shit because they're like, well, I only bought it for this occasion, so fuck it, I don't need it.
Like, my house is stocked, I'm good. All right, so first things first. Once again, I'm going to preface that we know that I enjoy horror games.
Yeah, you do. A lot. Like, so much.
Like, I will watch things at 11 o'clock at night knowing they're going to bother me. Like, I've played PT a couple times. My hallway in my house is very PT-ish, so when I come home late at night, I always remote control, put my lights on, because I ain't trying to see no Lisa up in my place sometimes. And you saw the hallway. You know which one I'm talking about. But anyway, some rumors were going around, and now they're not so much rumors, that we are getting a Resident Evil 7. Not that big of a deal, because if you remember the abysmal responses to 5, which I still apologize that I enjoy 5, and then the very horrible 6 with the logo of a kid blowing a giraffe. If you look at the 6, it kind of looks like a kid blowing a giraffe's dick. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I remember when you showed that to me, and I was like, thanks.
Now it's forever. You can never forever unsee it. But the abysmal response to 6 and how they were attempting to bring it back to basics in 6 and then just kind of took a giant monster shit on it. So, of course, when everyone was talking about Resident Evil 7, everyone's like, I'm not too worried about it. It's probably going to be like at a Chuck E. Cheese. It's not even going to be that scary. They're really kind of going more action and they should just admit it. Well, news came out that it is returning back to its horror roots, and to ensure that, they are bringing in people who are part of the development of PT. So they scoped some people from Kojima Productions to come on board to kind of help them slap that fear back into their stuff, which I am all about. Give it to me. They say that it's going to go back to the Resident Evil horror roots, so I don't know if they're gonna somehow try to revitalize Resident Evil 1 story or not, because we did have the report where they redid 1 and 0 fairly recently. just to see if it could run in the style that they've been running since 4. So I don't know if that's where they're going necessarily, or if they're going to continue with the original story before, you know, Leon became a badass and Chris Redfield could lift boulders out of volcanoes. Because if they go back to, essentially, if they could stop 4, which 4 was still good. Like, I appreciate 4 and everything that Leon did, but that's where that schism in the road happened.
Right.
Because while it was still scary and they built up on that tension, it was still action-driven and more of an escort mission. So that's the game that kind of set the tone of, oh, we could totally play this route and it not be that big of a... And apparently it was. But if they could somehow squeeze something in between 3, which was Jill and Tyrant and Stars and blah, 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 if they could get something between 3 and 4... then they're golden, because they could totally play up that, well, this is what would have happened if this happened. But what if, instead of Tyrant being manifested, what if this happened instead? And I think that would be the best route. Now, I mean, since we have people who were developing it for PT for this, there's a lot of different things that could come into play. Obviously, it's not Guillermo del Toro who's writing Resident Evil, which would be awesome. But I think Del Toro's scape of narrative is definitely pure horror. And while this is horror-based, this is also a different subset of horror for Del Toro. I don't think he's ever really molded or sculpted anything strongly in, like, a living dead situation. Like, I think most of his horror has always kind of been demonic, supernatural, and not, like, something scientific that just has manifested in a dark, evil way. So I'm a little worried about who, because they haven't said who from the PT development team has come on board with this, just that we have them. So, I mean, it just depends on if we're getting someone who was doing UI, which means we might get some really interesting scopes in, you know, how we maneuver in the world and how, you know, QTEs are sculpted, or how to build up tension without giving the player much ability to do anything. Very similar to that, you know, just stare at something in PT and hope it doesn't kill you.
Right.
And something like that. But there are so many different things that could now be happening. Like, I can't imagine going through Resident Evil 1 and 2 and having to, like, look through cracks of doors before walking through them, or having to piece together things while hearing and having that audioscape be its own character at all. Like, that, I think, would add so much more tension to an already clearly established horror scene. So there's so much going on, and I'm so excited. Like, I wish I could have saved up enough time to have been able to make a play for E3 this year, because I would have loved to have been able to just sit at Capcom and just talk to them, and or if they have anything to show, you know, just absorb everything that's coming out of that, because I'd love to pick that apart. And I mean, I know KBD and, you know, Hamsterman are going out, but I don't know how much of RE fans either of them are. I believe Hamsterman plays some horror games, so I might...
He does, so you probably want to get on him, because he does.
I'd be like, hey, Hamsterman, can you get me all the information, please? But anyway, but I'm super psyched to see this. And if they can go back to their roots, because, I mean, I think we had a really great introduction back into the basics when we got Evil Within, because obviously we had someone who
didn't play it.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But, and I mean, and that was a great step back into the basics of what RE had already done. You know, like, you had your abilities, you weren't completely helpless, but at the same time, they did make elements of certain things that you did in that game where you were, your super, I don't want to say super abilities, but your, because I'm a cop, I'm fearless, would actually probably end you up dead more often than, oh God, maybe I should just run. Like, they really did like to test your fight or flight in that game. And, you know,
I flight.
Well, here's the thing. In some cases, that's your only option for survival is to run away. But the funny thing about the Evil Within is that, especially during the tutorials of stuff, they would be like, oh, this is how you stealth to kill someone. And then they present the situation for you. And you're like, oh, man, I could totally just take this knife and just do this thing that the game told me I can do. But then you go and you do it, and the guy turns, like, and I executed it perfectly, by the way, and this is the beginning thing that they give you. And I stab him, but he manages to pull the knife back out and then kills me. And then, like, there was a dot, dot, dot. Sometimes it's not the best option. And I'm like, so you set that up knowing that I was going to test it. Because dick any move. Oh, man, like, they were playing with your mind, which is great in these scenarios. So, I mean, if they could bring all of that that they've learned from what's happened with you know, Evil Within and with the stuff that's happening in VR, with the audio being its own character to help set the tone in the scene, then this genre is finally getting that fresh glass of water that we as fans have been waiting for a very long time. And I'm very anxious and hopeful. But at the same time, I don't want to hold my breath either, because, I mean, I could be giving them the benefit of the doubt because the nostalgia in me has made me, like I said, I apologized for 5. 5 wasn't that terrifying, but I loved the fuck out of it. Like, I did. And
look, you like what you like. When you have a great experience, even if it's not necessarily true to, quote-unquote, the franchise core, it's still a good experience. Like, a good game is a good game. A fun game to play is a good game. Now, is it necessarily a perfect spiritual successor or a successor?
Well, maybe see, they need to stop singing those words around, because serious. Every time I hear spiritual successor, I hear...
This is totally not a sequel, but it's a sequel, but actually it's not a sequel.
Well, I don't even hear that. When I hear spiritual successor, I hear... So we had one dev who came back from the original team to say, yeah, I kind of feel where you're getting with that. And that's where the blessing comes, because it doesn't come from on high. The clouds don't open, and demonic happy angels don't come down and say, we completely agree demonic that this is totally aligned.
Demonic angels coming down? I think you've got your areas switched.
No, because it's horror, so they can't be angelic. They have to have some root of evil.
Angels fall.
So, no, actually, no. So it's not like a hole in the ground opens up. And, like, red demons come out and go, yeah, and then go back down to hell. Like, there's no stamp of approval here. So stop saying you're a successor to this, because you know what? I'm a successor to your balls. What does that...
No, nothing. You're not. No, you're I'm not. I'm just saying,
it's a useless statement. It doesn't mean anything. It has no gravitas and it has no weight. So stop using it. If the game's a successor, when people play it, they will feel it. There is no need to tell us.
I don't disagree. When
you play it and you don't feel it, you're like, Qualis LaFouque.
Yeah.
And that's that. So stop using words that if you don't fully 100% believe it and or feel it in your game experience, then it is not a successor. It is not, and it should never be labeled as such. But anyway, so that little sliver in my heart, like that little sliver that still believes that, you know, Capcom can pull the
Capcom
this out of
path. Fuck you over.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I've been sticking with Square Enix, and they've butt raped me 8 billion times already.
Dude,
I still keep coming back, hoping they're gonna do right by me.
I know, they're like the bad boy boyfriend that, like, every time he comes back to town,
I'm done. You completely forget
that he owes you money.
I go back to my life, and then I hear the room of an engine and, like, a fat ass hog pull into my driveway. And I'm like, oh no, it's Square Enix again. He's looking really good in that leather jacket and those white Vans. He's back at it again. And I fall like an idiot. I absolutely do. But I mean, I have more respect for Ari, and I'm like, hey, you've had some times in your life where things were just not great, and I stood by you for that, and I'm here for you, bro. Look, I'm like, whatever you need. You want a ham sandwich? I'll make you a fucking ham sandwich.
I'm just hopeful that Capcom has learned its lessons. Especially after the last outing with Street Fighter. It's putting the right assets behind its titles. Okay? And is committing to delivering the great experience for gamers. Because, again, I feel like, you know, devs, especially people who have been in the game for long periods of time, right? They get comfortable and complacent. We know what you want. So we're just going to shovel it up again, and you're going to take it and be like, oh my god, this is dope, and then we can call it a day and everybody can go home. And I feel like the community is much more savvy. And
we're jaded as fuck now.
We're jaded, but we also expect a lot for the money that we're putting out, right or wrong.
That's very true.
There is an expectation of a certain level of entertainment. Now with social media, if I am not entertained, I can reach a whole lot of people and let them know I am not entertained. And I can beat you upside the head as a developer or a publisher if you're on Twitter and let you know
every how dissatisfied I was
of every hour of every day of just how unsatisfied I am. So it changes the game a lot.
It's like, I could be so dissatisfied that me and a bunch of my baking friends will send you 3 billion, not 3 billion, but like 3,500 cupcakes with light blue, light green, or light pink frosting. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, what a classy way to be like, I dissent.
I mean,
a tasty one at that.
Tasty one at that. You know, so I do think that there is a amount of entertainment and forethought that you have to put into whenever you're going to approach these things. I think it is smart that they've pulled people from Kojima's team who are not continuing on with Kojima in his new team, in their new ventures. Although the new logo display, which really isn't all that new, that came out this week for Kojima's new company.
I don't think the people who are working on this have necessarily stepped away from Kojima, but I think they all have to figure out how to, you know, pay the bills until things can really start rolling. So
yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think that it's good that you have more than just one person from a team be involved in it and have people that were involved with the original title to be able to come back and be like, okay, we can help you get back on track because, you know, you kind of went off for a little bit.
At the end of the day, everything looks positive. I'm not going to put all of my eggs in a basket.
Yeah, don't put all your eggs in a basket because you're real upset.
I have bad balance personally, and I should never be responsible for life. Anyone's, mine, or anyone else's. Especially if they cannot voice their own opinion. Do not give me babies. But yeah, I'll just leave it on the couch. It's comfy there. It's been 2 weeks. I should have fed it. Shit. Don't do it. I'm not ready.
My Tamagotchi you killed.
I have killed 10 of mine.
Yeah.
And Eshmom was like, could you stop buying these because you're just not good at it?
And then
I was like, well, I wonder why people don't pay me to babysit. Now I know why. Because I am not good. Like, I could take care of myself. Okay.
Kinda.
Better.
Kinda.
Better.
One of my most favorite games on the Xbox 360.
Tapper? Awesome. Just kidding.
Bulletstorm.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
So, when I saw this, and it's not even confirmed, so let's take a step back. Bulletstorm is one of my more favorite games that I played on the 360.
I think you had so much fucking fun.
I had
that game.
A crazy amount of fun with Bulletstorm.
I think your face hurt from all the laughing and smiling you had.
It really did. It gave me one of my most favorite cuss words that I still use to this day. Fuckstick.
Yep, fuckstick.
When the female character is riding up in the elevator in this, after being attacked in this open world thing, and there's like this little guy that she went to go talk to, and he's like, I can help, and he just cowers everywhere, so she basically gets to take on everybody in the whole thing. In the whole arena, after you clear the level, you're riding in an elevator, and she was like, you little fuckstick, like, you were completely useless. And I was like, there is no better phrase for calling someone completely inept and useless than fuckstick.
Well, here's the thing,
you're
though.
Basically a dildo.
Here's the thing, though, and dildos
in their purpose, but that's it, it's very singular.
I mean, some dildos have functions. Some dildos don't. But they fill a space.
Yeah. And sometimes they do it well, and sometimes they don't. He was just in the space. He's basically without batteries.
But apparently he was a small dildo that couldn't hit the G-spot because he was pointless.
Fuck stick. Love that.
He was like a rounded off dildo that didn't hit the G-spot. And it was just like, you missed the mark, bro.
But I think that the main thing that I loved about Bulletstorm is that it was witty. It was fast-paced. It was a very balanced shooter. And I think at the time that I was playing Bulletstorm, I had just come off of finishing Uncharted. And so the chick that did the voice of Duck Lady there.
Chloe.
Was the voice of the female character in this game.
Is that Claudia Black?
Yeah, it's Claudia Black. And it was so funny because I remember, like, when we were doing the podcast, we were talking so much about she was everywhere at the time because I was rewatching Farscape. And then she was in, like, these two games I was playing hot and heavy. She's like, Claudia Black is everywhere.
Everywhere you want to be.
Truth. So, basically, Destructoid had put out an article and said, hey, guys, here's something you should be aware of. People Can Fly Games, who were the team that originally worked on and created Bulletstorm under Epic. So at the time, I think they were like, I don't know, Epic East or some shit like that. Epic Games Poland, because that's where they're based. Created the game, and then it was released under Epic's banner. And, you know, Microsoft had had the license for Gears. And so then that team started working on Judgment with Epic going off and doing their thing and Microsoft taking the license for Gears and keeping that in-house with them, it allowed People Can Fly to become an independent studio again. And I think it was their, I can't remember if it was their president or if it was their CEO, I think it was their CEO, said, hey, you know, while he was being interviewed, we're working on two titles right now. One's a smaller one, but we're working on a AAA shooter. Which immediately got people thinking, well, hey, you know, Bulletstorm was theirs.
Right.
Nobody else has the license for Bulletstorm.
And who wouldn't want to kill with skills?
Who wouldn't want to kill with skills? And come on, like, we know what People Can Fly can do. They make great fucking games.
They allow you to get all of your rage out of one bad guy.
Now he said,
and then the rest is just for fun.
He said that they're not going to say anything about the details of the game until next year.
But
they're either working on a completely new IP.
Or
they're working on Bulletstorm. And the thing about Bulletstorm is the game ended on a cliffhanger. So there was always more story to be told. There was more things to happen. And I was pissed off that it ended on a cliffhanger and that everybody kept talking about, all right, well, you know, Bulletstorm did so well, Bulletstorm 2 is going to happen. And then, like, everything with Epic happened and a bunch of games.
And they're like, you know what? It may happen. I can't confirm or deny it won't happen.
But it's probably going to happen.
As of right now, I cannot tell you if it will or will not happen. So just sit with your lemonade and wait.
Right. I don't like to play the rumor game. And right now, is all educated guess, but I do think that it is a strong educated guess.
My hypothesis makes me think that it is true.
I would love for it to be Bulletstorm 2.
And I also feel like even though they said they won't disclose anything until next year, I anticipate that the smallest of nuggets, like the tiniest, like an Easter egg.
You got E3 coming up in a couple of weeks, and then
they'll sprinkle it.
Then you've got PAX Prime. If you really want to get people hyped, what better way than to throw just a quick teaser out at PAX Prime?
Boom.
Yep. By the way, just a little thing that, you know, we're working on. We're not ready to talk about it yet, but stop and share it with you guys for just a quick second. And just give me a 30-second sizzle, and I will pre-order today.
Sizzle, I think steak. Anyway.
Day.
So, I feel like, because we haven't had anything like that in a while, because, I mean, but Judgment,
the promise of Gears. Judgment was okay, but Judgment wasn't what the Gears fans were hoping.
And now we're getting Gears 4, where now we have what looks like fucking Marcus's son with Anna, or whatever the fuck her name was, who was looking quite chiseled.
Badass.
Like, it's so weird, because, like, during that whole, like, the trailer for it, the little thing that they showed, I'm like, so either this is Marcus and Anya's son, or Baird got in there right quick, right before Marcus could even know. This is like a love child. I know they're not going to go that way. We know Dom's dead.
No, you know Baird wouldn't jump in there for fear of Marcus, like, killing him.
Ripping his head off.
So you know that didn't happen.
But it was
happen.
Funny, because, like, when I saw him, I'm like, blonde and chiseled. I'm like, unless it's, like, this weird fusion sperm of Baird and Marcus, so they don't know who the daddy really is. I don't know. My mind went 18 different places than exactly where it should have been. But I don't have an... And I'm excited for this Gears 4 because I feel like now is a time to bring that back where we haven't had anything that immersive, that campaign, you know, get your buddies together. I mean, The Division is a great step into that.
By the way, it is Marcus and Anya's son.
I know. I just wanted there to be some drama. No because drama. Because Dom's dead, so we're not going to get my wife anymore because he's happily dead in heaven with her.
Well, stop being a dick about Dom dying sad about having to pop his wife.
And I mean, what is it? Dominic Carmine, he made it out because we know. So now what? Like, he's had E, F, and G, and like F's gone because F's just a fuck up. So, like,
Carmine wasn't a fuck up. That last Carmine was badass.
No, the last Carmine was D. He was D. So he had E, F, and G. Those are his three kids in my mind. E and G are still, like, alive. F is the fuck up. So he fucked up. He did, in my mind. Because the Carmine seem to have some bad juju. They just don't, some of them just don't listen. Some listen too much. And then one's just a complete and utter badass. And that's why he's alive. And probably have like 18 babies. But that's neither here or there. But the thing I loved about Gears, one, was the story was, the gameplay was amazing. The story was amazing. And then after all that was said and done, because it was such a hype driver, so many people were playing it, you could jump into any game of like of Horde or Capture the Flag or any of that, or you could get a crew of your dudes who all were playing it and you all knew your play styles and it felt natural. It was a way to bring people together. And no, like,
you actually played some Gears with me.
I played a lot of
Gears and multiplayer too. Because I had to buy you a copy of 3 first.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was during my I ain't got no job and no money phase. So that's exactly how that had to go. But now I'm an adult and that's different.
And I still buy you games and you barely play with me.
Okay. I can't argue with you there. I can't.
Nope.
But I'm looking forward to this because this sits in my wheelhouse of all the good feels. Because like,
but can you imagine a year where you get Gears 4 and then and 6 months later
and they talk about 2. Oh my god, I think I would cream all over my pants.
I'm hate glad to be that you stopped yourself and then you went with pants.
Because
your brain was going someplace else and it was not cool.
I was just going to cream all over my coffee. Like, come on. Oh my god, all the cream. Beside the point. Beside the point. But I'm excited for that. I am. And, I mean, when I heard the whisperings of Bulletstorm 2, I was like, it's about damn time. But because I just want my green grabby leash thing where I could just grab you and rip you and put you into my face, like, get over here, and then like rip your face off and then pair it with a nice Chianti.
I loved that attack so much. That game was just so over the top fun.
Like talk about there's a word for it because like you're chasing score, like it's a score chaser where you're trying to build up on, you know, style and all that shit. And that stuff, you know, in certain games just doesn't work. Like, I understand, like, in Devil May Cry, like, oh man, like, depending on how awesome you killed someone, you got more green orbs or red orbs and okay. And, like, it kind of worked, but, like, this was just like, how many ways can I fuck your day?
And, like, let me count them.
Exactly. And it drove you to want to do that. I mean, most of the time, I did fairly well, like, with my style points and whatever in Devil May Cry, but I wasn't driven to always overperform. As long as I killed them, I was happy. But this, it was a way to introduce, you know, in Bulletstorm, a better way of, hey, like, look at this interactive world that you can literally do almost anything in. What things can I cause to affect this guy's life? And by that, I mean end it. And that was amazing. Like, I would sit there right before a thing and be like, all right, so I know, because I've played this level 8 times, that there's explosives to my right immediately. I'm like, 4 guys are going to come at me. Like, can I, like, grab one and kind of swoop them all in the explosives? Let me see if I can do that. Game science. And boom, I was just ignited with passion to murder, which I should
ignited
be.
Ignited with passion to murder.
I should be careful about that. But yeah, that's
here. Should be. You should be.
So on last week's show, as some of you may or may not have listened to then, we talked, or rather, Ninja talked
Ad nauseum, but go ahead.
Ad nauseum.
Ad. There's a D, not G.
Ad fucking nauseum.
Thank you. If you're going to use Latin, do it right.
I didn't take Latin in high school.
Neither did I, but I went to
Spanish wasn't strong enough. Anyway, ad nauseum about Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, which I could not play on release because my bills just did not allow that to happen, and that is okay. But like I said earlier in the podcast, my wonderful fiance, surprised me with our own copy. Now, if you notice, I said our own copy, not mine. To which, when it arrived, my first instinct was to put it straight in, let that download, and play all night long. But as I was thinking that, a caveat appeared. A wild one, and it was super fucking effective. And my fiancé had said, now don't you put that in and play, because that is our game, and we're going to play it together. And I was like, no, 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 no. And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay, I love you.
We'll try. And I was like, or you could start and just run a new save game.
Right. Or, hey, I could put it on my PS4 that's in our study, and it then go on to yours when you come home. But no, because he wanted to experience it with me at the same time, which is super romantic and gamer goals and whatever the fuck. So I decided to be a good waifu in training, and I waited. And let me tell you how regretful I am that that happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I love him, and I love what we do. It's wonderful. But we have these rules in place. So I'm not allowed to play the game unless we are both awake and present. And I go to bed super early. Like, at night. So, like, yeah, there's no late night gaming, but he won't play it unless I'm awake. I can't play it until he's awake. And we take turns between each pass. So every time one of us dies in an area, the other person then gets to take over. So it's really interesting to, one, see two of our play styles kind of what works and what doesn't. But at the same time, this also slows down how fast we chug through the game. Also, because I might have talked up how awesome my gaming skills are, and then I remember how it takes me a while to warm up my gaming skills because they're not always hot and ready at the moment of performance. And during that first scene in the game, which we've talked about last week, when you're on the boat with the guy that you don't know at the point is your bro, and you're navigating these choppy seas, and you have to ram into these boats, and you have to avoid these fucking mysterious sharp rocks that just kind of show up. I no do good at all with the rocks. I was great at ramming people. Like, people I was all about. I'm like, can this just be the game? Because this is great. And then he's like, we gotta get to the shore. And then the fucking rocks show up. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I can't just go straight anymore. And, like, I kept dying. And my fiancé, who, without disclosing too much, works in games, and was just like, so can you learn to play now? Can has skills now? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, I'm doing the best I can. Not to mention, we're playing it on hard now.
Oh, well, that's where you done fucked up.
Yeah, well, because he is God's gift to a controller, and I can play hard, but I have to get through the game on normal first, and then I develop my hard skills. But I can't just start off hard, like, Guys don't start off hard. They have to work at it, right? So do I. Except my penis is a controller and a game scheme and not a tangible phalange on my body. And then I started getting performance anxiety, which kind of rolls back into it. So at one point, because, like, I'm just having a harder time, and we don't have auto lock on, so, like, I actually have to aim to kill people, which I will admit, when I play in hard, when I play through, I turn that off. But in normal, I keep that on just so I can get used to the pace of the game. And that just kind of showed how I'm just kind of a spray and pray kind of girl, and I'm not a careful, deliberate
really
shot.
Spray and pray? You? Like, no. Little Leroy Jenkins?
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's in those games you hide that, but not in this scenario. And I got to a point where I was strongly discouraged. And for like two chapters, I'm like, no, I'm like, you can go ahead and play, because every time I do something wrong, you're going to say something or comment. And it took the fun out of the game for a couple of chapters. And finally, we kind of reapproached it. And now he won't do that. We will only say encouraging things or things that might help, but not anything that will be negative and detrimental to the progress of the game. We've just met Rafe at the soiree, and Nadine, and we just swiped the crucifix, got through all of that, and our brother just broke it, and we have the map. So now we know we're in Scotland, and we had to stop at Scotland so that I could come do the show, but we'll probably jump back into it after this is done. So the fiance doesn't know what's going down, but obviously I was on our show last week, so I clearly know what's happening. So it's really funny to listen to someone on the other side of that line who doesn't have that information and listen to them make deductions about what's happening. Because about halfway through meeting Sam, when we're kind of doing that banter between Sam and Nathan as they're scaling the side of the castle to get into the party, and my fiance is just kind of like, so he's going to betray us, isn't he? And I'm like, what makes you say that? And he's just like, because every new person who comes into Nathan's life in these games either somehow works for someone who's going to betray him or is going to get betrayed by somebody, which is a complete and utter valid truth in the Drake series. And I was like, I don't think so, because, you know, I'm trying to play dumb. I'm like, I'm not sure about that yet. I'm like, but everyone has their agendas and their intentions, right? But that's where we're at right now. And you were not kidding. During that whole scene where Drake's up in his man cave reliving his adventures and his yearning for something more than what his life is presenting, I was just like, oh man, Nathan, you feel so sad. Like, they played that up in such a natural way that you could definitely empathize with the call of something more when your life has been nothing but action-packed and then your day resolves in picking up trash. They set that up really well. And yep. And like the dynamics between Elena and Drake, and like on the whole couch thing, like I've lived those moments where you're trying to find something to talk about in the day and you just kind of get this malaise over you. And like, and I was just like, oh man, hashtag life problems, right? Like everyday, like hashtag mundane life. I get it. Especially when you've done all these great things and now you are committing to this other facet of your life that you weren't ignoring before, but maybe in the back of your mind always thought that it would always have some air of adventure and mystery that you've kind of built your whole persona around. So like you could feel it and you're like, man, like when they brought up that whole,
I know, I said that.
I know. And like when Elena's all like, you should totally take that like
Malaysia job.
Yeah. I was like, oh Nathan, you should totally do that. Maybe shoot
somebody. He's like, no, I don't have the permits.
I'm like, stop being a fucking pussy, man. I was like, I think you need to take this job to refresh yourself, get some new perspective or something. And I'm like, I love how they're playing up this duality of his personality, and we're getting to see that. And it's really funny because I think in this game, granted, we haven't really gotten to any of those situations where, you know, Sam's like in a lot of trouble, and I know eventually we're going to get to that. But I feel like the way that they're setting up Nathan, you could definitely see what's missing in his home life. And that gets answered at the very end of the game when you see the product of all of that. And like, it seems like the thing that he was missing that whole time was something to carry on his legacy. And with that being his daughter and stuff, because he's got this strong father mentality in the same way that Sully has it for Nathan. Nathan doesn't have anyone to transfer that onto. And at the end of the game, when we see that, that's when he becomes fully actualized and self-actualized, because he then once again has purpose.
And it's the end of a thief.
It's, yeah. And like, as soon as, so as all that setting up, I was just like, oh, this is going to be really, really good. Really
but
good.
Still, like, even the, you haven't hit him yet, but wait till you hit the fight, and then the stuck in a situation together after the fight stuff with him and Elena. It's so weird and real and awkward.
So is it like Uncanny Valley real? Like, it's like, this is totally a situation that people
look, I'm not going to... No, it's not, because they're fucking chasing after treasure. Okay? And you don't... You're not stuck on an island, like, trying to kill mercenaries while dealing with the fact of, like, hey, you lied to me, and if you were just honest with me about what you wanted to pursue, maybe together we could have found a solution, you asshole. Like, you don't do that while stuck on an island searching for $500 million worth of pirate booty.
That's true. That's very
true. That's not a real-life situation for many people.
I mean... Right, that part isn't, but I meant the discussion of, you lied to me, why couldn't you be honest?
And but like, how two people who don't want to have that conversation because they've been avoiding it for a while, it seems, are stuck in a situation where they have to deal with it, that part feels very real. Right. It's written very well. And it is brought to life by the perfect voice actors that make it feel awkward and unreal. Like, you feel like you're listening in on a couple having a fight that you really didn't want to be a part of listening to.
Couples get into fights. It is, look, get me the fucking popcorn, get me the butter.
Yeah, when it's other people and you're, like, removed from it, but not when they're your friends and you're, like, out in the living room, then they start having a fight and you're like, I don't know if I should make eye contact with anybody or not, or...
bread and butter right there. I love to see it bubbling over. I'm like, oh man, they're gonna fight. Here it comes.
You are you fucking German? Like, what?
I'm like, oh man, he shouldn't have brought up her mom. Here it comes. It's like a fucking wave. It is gnarly.
Well, you should never bring up her mother.
Don't bring up family. Don't bring up kids.
Like, there are some family members that maybe you could bring up, but never.
For 20 minutes. You know, don't bring those dark secrets out, because the minute those go flying, someone's getting cut.
Yeah, just leave that alone. Like, even if you know she and her mother don't get along, you don't bring up her mother.
It's like, don't be talking about my family like that. Okay. You don't know them.
Okay, you let her bring them up. You don't bring them up.
Don't bring up that Vegas trip either. Don't bring it up. Don't bring up that lost earring that she loved, because she will stab you and then go eat some pizza bagels like it ain't no thing.
You will get cut.
But I can't wait to experience all those things. Like, they are setting it up in such a way that someone who loves narrative, and I can't stress enough just how much I love games that are strongly narrative driven, how they're setting up all these little nuances that, unless you're looking, and I shouldn't, because I wasn't really looking for it, but the dialogue presents a lot of direction. If you, like I said, you're narrative driven, you might hear those nuances and be like, why would he frame it like that? And then the questions roll in. So while you're trying to just say, you know, keep yourself from dying and everyone else around you dying, there's all this stuff that my mind was just cranking through, and like, I can't wait until this podcast is over so I can play some more. To be honest. But that's where we are in the game. I don't even think we've seen the fucking title screen yet.
I can't remember when the title comes up.
We just got to Scotland. So if it's come up, I haven't seen it.
I think it comes up when you get to Scotland.
So it might just show up, because we traveled by map and here we are, and that's when we stopped.
Yeah, I think it's Scotland where it pops up before you dive deep into it.
All right, then. So then we haven't fully seen it yet, but that's the deal, and that's where we're at. And obviously, the closer we get to the end of stuff, I will probably revisit this one more time once we have finished it, just for my overall review. But so far, I definitely can see how this could be a fitting end to a great franchise.
A phenomenal franchise, for sure. So that's what we got this week. All kinds of game stuff. So you know what that means. Next week we're going to have all kinds of anime stuff. Unless somebody else comes out with even more news on the gaming front. But that's it. That's the show. That's all we got for you this week. Make sure that you check out all the stuff that we're writing on the website. Whole team is creating reviews, previews, and thought pieces on every and everything from gaming to movies to anime and manga. So make sure that you check out electricsisterhood.com. You can catch our podcast there as well, grabbing the RSS feed, Or if you're on iTunes, either on the desktop or in the podcast application on your iOS device, you can search for the Eshcast, Electric Sisterhood, and subscribe. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio, through Google Play, and pretty much every podcast search engine on the planet. You'll also find us over at VogNetwork.com. You can check out our reviews and news articles, like I said, on our website. But also, if you use Apple News on your iOS device, you can favorite Electric Sisterhood on Apple News. And that way, the moment we put out new content, you'll get it in your For News feed. So we're just all in your world if you allow us to be. And we aren't the only thing that make up the land of Esh. So if you like our stuff, then you're definitely going to like everything that the team puts together on all of our respective websites. The network is strong, people. And when I say network, I mean No Borders, No Race, the podcast over at b3crew.com, hosted by our homie KBD. I mean Smashed Rook, with great game articles as well as live streams every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, Hamsterman 2049. Definitely check those out. New games, retro games, just fun times, fun games, fun gay. On Twitch, Hamsterman 2049. I'm talking Phil's Recap and Review, the live recap show hosted by our homeboy, Phil the Issues Guy, at issuesprogram.com. Make sure that you check out the live stream. Call in live, be part of the show, talk and chat. Like, it's amazing stuff, and you definitely want to make sure that you're checking it out. And as always, rounding out fam. Last, certainly not least, Nerd Crave, dishing out all the stuff that nerds crave. Comics, anime, manga, games, they are nerdy, you are nerdy, it's a good fit, it's a good time. And so with that, I've told you all the things that you need to check out. Make sure that you interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. You can ask us questions, hit us up, make recommendations for things for us to try. If you guys really want me to play Doom, I will. So if you hit me up on the Facebook and like, yo, Ninja, no, seriously, you need to play Doom, I'll play Doom. Maybe I'll put it out on Twitch. I don't know. And you can see that I played it. So you can see that I played it. Yada, yada. So that you can also hit us up on Twitter if you're not a Facebook fan. We're at ESH News. Same thing. Ask us questions. Check out all the content that we're sharing and aggregating. We think it's fun stuff and entertaining, and we hope that you will as well. And you can also follow us on Instagram at ESH News. We share little videos and photos of games that we're playing on the reg. So check it out. Follow us, like us, share, whatever. It's all a good time. We love interacting with you because we really love our community. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, guys.
Peace.